I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, I want to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and talk to a man that probably stares at his 19th state championship trophy and laughs every time he sees it. And then he'll be like, man, Baskin was crying in the other locker room when I won this thing. Harkins is nice enough to join us. And Brett, obviously an expert here in Northeast Ohio when it comes to the NHL, played for the Bruins, the Panthers, the Blue Jackets, and is now currently a scout for the Boston Bruins. Brett, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
Good. Jeff will say hi too in a second. Jeff, you're on the line, right?
Well, you were going, and you know, Brett was enjoying a good laugh thinking about your tears back in the day.
Back in the 80s.
Hey, listen, that's for sure.
Nice job.
Brett, I got to ask you this question before we start this interview with start talking about the NHL. Is it true that in your travels in the NHL that you once took a face-off against Mario Lemieux and asked him for his stick after the game? Is this a true story?
It wasn't a face-off. I was sitting next to him on the bench in Pittsburgh at the old arena, and there was like 3 minutes left in the game, and I asked him if I could have a stick after the game, and he gave it to me. And then we were actually the Bruins-Penguins game on NBC was the Sunday game, was a game right after that. So I actually had him sign it for me in Boston on that, like, a couple days later. So
was
that's
it awkward?
One of the highlights of my career. And then I took a face-off against Gretzky in Madison Square Garden. And I had a
goal
in that game. And Gretzky had no points in that game, too, by the way.
Nice.
Wow, so you shut him down. Is that what you tell
I
folks?
I outscored Gretzky in that game. Yes, I did.
That's outstanding.
That's great. All right, Brett, I want to talk about, you know, just because I think a lot of fans are kind of like looking at the Blue Jackets right now after they made such big headlines and playing in a two-game game with seven overtimes, and they lost, but they were able to bounce back yesterday. What were your thoughts on the multiple overtime game into seven periods and just what that means and what a hockey player goes through or any athlete goes through when you continue to see the clock keep running and you don't have a winner?
Well, when you look at a guy like Seth Jones who ends up playing, like, I think he played 65 minutes in that game, or Korpisalo making 85 saves and something like that, I mean, it's just so rare, but it just goes to show you what kind of athletes and what kind of shape these guys are in nowadays. I mean, it wasn't the case back when I played, that's for sure. The shape these guys are in now, and when you come into training camp now, they expect you to be under 10% body fat. They don't even let you on the ice. So, I mean, these guys are in shape and ready to go. But, of course, you know, watching that game yesterday, and then Tampa scored the first goal, and I was like, oh, no, that's not going to be good. Because you figure once that Tampa got that first goal yesterday that maybe Columbus would maybe get down. But you know what? A lot of people say they don't like playing for Torts, but I think he's obviously a phenomenal coach, and he's got those guys playing the right way. I mean, look what they did last year to Tampa, and then look who they lost last year. You know, if you look at Bob leaving and Panera leaving, and probably a lot of people didn't give them much of a chance against Tampa this year. But these guys come to play every night, you know, with Werenski and Seth Jones on the back end, I mean, and they got great leadership. So they're in a really good spot, and they think they're going to give Tampa all they can handle, that's for sure.
Brett, I think it's been interesting. You know, the NBA goes into a bubble. It looks, you know, like a soundstage. It looks like something, you know, they created for television. The NHL goes into a bubble. It doesn't look that way. It looks like they're playing in empty arenas. Yet, I think the juice from the players has been there. You know, the stuff that I've seen, it's like, well, these guys are playing their you-know-whats off. How difficult is that?
When you watch the NBA, like, I've watched a couple games, and it's like you're in an open gym. And I think maybe that makes you realize how important the fans are to their sport and to their game, because I've sat courtside at Cavs games. A friend of mine has tickets, and I go quite a bit. And it's just when you watch that game on TV and then you watch the NHL, I think it has a lot of the Winter Classic similarities of a Winter Classic where the fans aren't right on top of you, obviously. So us as viewers on TV, you can't see, I mean, you can't really see the fans when you're watching a Winter Classic because they're showing the puck, you know, so it's tough to see the fans. And I think, you know, it's the hardest trophy to win is the Stanley Cup, and these guys know that. You know, I mean, heck, last year we were one game away from winning the Stanley Cup, and so it's, I mean, for these guys, it probably feels a little bit like a minor hockey tournament because they're in a bubble and they're, you know, and they're all in Toronto. But when the puck drops, I think they're ready to go for sure.
Brett, I mean, can you feel a vibe here a little bit in Northeast Ohio? I mean, is there, and you know, you played in Columbus too, so obviously we saw how exciting it was. You know, last year or whenever they've had success during the playoffs, but can you feel a little bit of a vibe about hockey, especially because of what they've been able to do and how they've been able to accomplish this thing with the two bubbles? Like, I kind of feel like things are percolating a little bit. I don't know, maybe I'm in a personal bubble because I want it to, but I kind of feel like there are some fans out there that maybe weren't hockey fans before that are kind of like, you know what, this is all right, this isn't bad.
And I think with the affiliation, like when I was with the Blue Jackets, we weren't affiliated
True.
With Cleveland. So I think a lot of these guys, you know, like the Bjorkstrand, the Korpisalos, the Werenskis. Heck, I went down to the Q and watched them win the Calder Cup, and I'm a scout. I wasn't there scouting. I was there as a fan, you know, to see this. Like, the fan base is definitely starting to grow, and then with it being playoff hockey and the pace that they play it at, I think the average person just watching a hockey game who's dying for sports since there hasn't been any sports for a long time is going to become a fan for sure.
Brett, with everything that's gone on, you know, with the virus affecting sports, I think it, and now especially with college football getting hit, I think it's made everybody think, it's made me think anyway, about how players are developed and the systems that lead players to the professional ranks. And I think hockey has the most interesting system going, you know, where American kids will go to Canada to play juniors. And you went to college, you know, you played at Bowling Green. Not everybody, you know, played in college, which has a little baseball feel to it sometimes. Does the NHL model for developing players, I think it might spread to some of the other sports a little bit, because it's just, to me, it's a little less defined and a little more all over the place. Or am I completely wrong on this?
No, I think, I mean, if you're a good enough hockey player, you're going to get found no matter where you're playing. I mean, the college kids, I mean, you have the BU and the BC that I would say, like, they're like the Kentucky or Duke of college basketball, where you have the one and done. And as a college coach, I mean, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Yes, it's great for your program because you got a top five NHL pick that's coming to play for you for 1 year. But I think the kids that go to college and play college hockey are more ready if they stay for at least – I've never heard a kid say – because actually that's what I do for the Bruins is scout college hockey. I've never heard anything said about a kid where, you know, he stayed too long. But you hear a lot about the kid left too early. He should have stayed another year. So I think when the kids do come out of college hockey, or the top kids that go play major junior, when they come, they're ready to play. I mean, look at the Robertson kid. He's 18. He's playing for the – you know, he was playing for the Leafs in the round – you know, that first series against the Blue Jackets. He's 18 years old. He was playing junior hockey last year. Heck, 4 months ago, he was playing junior hockey. You know, he came in and scored against the Blue Jackets. So I think the model definitely works, whether it just is major, junior, or it is college. I mean, each kid has to choose what he wants to do. But with the Ivy shutting down, I mean, there's been a mass exodus from Harvard. A lot of the college kids that have been drafted by Harvard have signed pro contracts. You know, I mean, I don't know that I'd leave Harvard to sign a pro NHL contract. I'd probably stay all 4 years, but that's just me.
Well, you went to Harvard in Northeast Ohio. You went to St. Ed's, right? I mean, you already had the education before you ever put on skates. Sorry, I had to do that. Hey, Brett, let's just – I mean, Jeff hit a point there that I think sometimes when I look at what college athletics is going to be in the future after this, and we all know how dependent it is on football, hockey just isn't one of those sports. And, you know, it to me, I look sometimes at the Ohio High School Athletic Association – when it comes to high school hockey. And I think when you and I played, and I know you didn't finish out your time at Eds, right? You went up to juniors by your senior
year. Yeah, my senior year I left.
So I think that, you know, I think we all kind of have that mentality growing up in Northeast Ohio that you kind of want to win a state championship for your high school. But, I mean, if you're any – if and I'm not – I'm just saying that kids that are talented and looking to be pushed and maybe have a future to play college hockey – might find themselves not wanting to play for their high school and wanting to play, you know, in USA Hockey somewhere else on a U-19 team. And I think it makes it difficult for Ohio, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I deal with kids when I was coaching over at the Barons. I'd have those high-end kids, you know, and I would say, you know, and obviously a lot of them go to Ignatius now because they're kind of the top dog, obviously, in high school hockey here. And I tell them that. I said, I would go there as a sophomore or junior and play, but if you want to proceed and become a college hockey player, you have to leave the area just because there isn't enough good players in the area. Just because, I mean, it's nothing against anybody that's coaching or anything like that. It's just there's not enough good hockey here right now at the younger levels that if you want to get a college scholarship, it's not like the scouts are coming to Cleveland high school hockey to watch them. You know, so you have to go play juniors, whether that's in the USHL or the North American League. And there's kids that have done it. I know there's Aiden Spellacy, the kid, he played at Ignatius. The Spellacys all went there, and he played at Ignatius, and then he went and played juniors in Texas. Now he's playing over at Robert Morris and doing well, playing at Robert Morris, playing Division I college hockey. So there's guys that can do it. You know, the guys eventually do move on. If you're good enough, they're going to find you for sure.
But going back on what Jeff said, can that model work for other sports? Like basketball's got AAU. I just think football's in a weird spot because we're so tied to the education process with football because the stadiums are there. And, you know, we all respect the what football means to the state of Ohio and the Ohio High School Athletic Association, but can that model work for other sports if we walk out of this and one day educators decide to say, you know what, we're not here to play athletics, and if kids want to play athletics, well, there are plenty of clubs out there. They can go play and try to live their dream out.
Yeah, and about that, I've talked to people about, you know, the biggest thing for me when you look at the kids that are playing high school hockey and the amount of kids that play high school hockey right now in Cleveland compared to when you and I played. Heck, when you and I played, there was, what, 10 teams or 12 teams?
There were only two teams, buddy, and you don't forget.
Yeah, and only one of them won the state title.
That's right, in 86.
Yeah, but 87, when I wasn't there, they figured out how to do it.
Yeah, that's because I had left already. That's fine.
All right, And you're right.
I mean, the amount of kids that are playing hockey, I think that it's great when you can see the Westlakes and the Avons and the Avon Lakes and those kids that are playing hockey, and they're the captain of their hockey team, and they fill out their application to go to Ohio State, they can put, I was a captain of my hockey team. You know, yeah. I think the sport has grown, you know, with leaps and bounds with the amount of players, but I don't think the talent is there. And I mean, you do have like what in Florida, I think they have the IMG Academy, is that for football? I think maybe in golf and tennis, maybe. So there's a few of those. And you have those kids, you know, like even LeBron's kids, you know, he was leaving and they go to play for some place in LA. So I don't know that there's enough of those, you know, of leagues like that, AAU leagues or tournaments. I mean, I guess there probably is in basketball for those kids that play AAU tournaments. All those college scouts go to those AAU tournaments. So maybe it could be more of a club thing than a high school sport, but I would hate to see it go down that road. I would hate that. I just think that would be poor for everybody, for the kids, for the schools, and well, heck, for if you look at Ignatius and St. Ed's with their sport programs, that would just be, I mean, that would kill both of them, I think.
Agreed.
Brett, last question for you. The Blue Jackets, are they only as good as Corpusolo moving forward here? And how much is that? I think that game's going to come back to haunt them at some point, but how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I love Corpusolo, and as it is in hockey, if you have a hot goalie, you can ride him for as long as you can ride a hot goalie, you're going to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think, obviously, when you make 85 saves, and what did he have yesterday? I think 37 saves on 38 shots or 30, whatever it was, I think. So, I mean, you can ride him, but he's going to have to be on fire because, I mean, there's no more high-powered offense than Tampa. You know, and once you get past, if you can get past Tampa, I think it's, I mean, maybe Washington can match their offensive ability, but I think all-around offense, Tampa's got the best in the league right now, and if they can get past them, then we'll see what happens. Obviously, once they play the Bruins, I have to switch my who I'm rooting for, but that's okay.
That's all right. All right, well, hey, Brett, we appreciate your time. We'd love to have you back on to talk about everything that's going on with the Blue Jackets and the NHL. And at one point, I'm going to invite you over on the other side of the river to show you that there is hockey on the east side, because you probably dropped about 30 west side references in this conversation, just so you know.
Sounds good. I'll come over there. You just let me know. And let me know.
Well done, Brett.
Have me on. I'll be on.
I know folks at the passport office, so I can get you across the river. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Brett.
We'll talk to you soon. Brett Harkins, played in the NHL, played for the Blue Jackets and the Bruins and the Panthers, and spent time in Helsinki. He gets it. He understands it. And he's given us a little bit more insight and trying to help us out as we follow along in the NHL playoffs. And he'll be back with us again. And looking forward to talking to him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.